Good afternoon, Eastern Washington. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from the capital of Free Washington, Spokane Valley, and soon to be Liberty State. Brought to you by the committee to elect Matt Shea, Republican, and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story in the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. It's about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ. It's about not ending in prayer, but moving to action, and it's about Ephesians 2, 5 through 6. God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. All those challenges you're having in your life, again, you know, I'm going to reiterate this. It's the middle of the summer. A lot of people are going through challenges right now. Put those things under the feet of Jesus Christ. And if you're abiding in Jesus and Jesus is abiding in you, then they're under your feet too. That's what's important. That is what matters. And that is how we teach the next generation to deal with these challenges, not drown them in drugs or drown them in alcohol or drown them in TV or drown them in video games or whatever. But just put it under the feet of Jesus Christ. Franklin Graham is coming here to Spokane on August 9th. And he's feeling very strongly. I was at a meeting at a church, local church last night, with many leaders there. And it was very clear that he is being led, Franklin Graham, to come to this part of the country. And that there's something very special going on here. I want to encourage you. You know, we have this place called Daniel's Prayer House just off campus in Olympia. And by one of the most phenomenal miracles I have ever seen, a single donor provided all the money to buy the house and the repairs because they felt led by the Lord to do it. And all these people are praying for it. And it happened right before the sale was supposed to go through to an owner that very likely would not have kept the prayer house there. Just amazing stuff. Then we established the Washington State Congressional Prayer Caucus here. It's the Washington State Prayer Caucus. There's a National Prayer Caucus. We established that as well. But then we started moving to action, and this is the great part about it. Street ministries are picking up. Ministries to help those that are involved in sex trafficking. We're going to talk about that later in the show with our guest today. Ministries to show the tangible love of the Lord through us to other people, but also ministries to make disciples as well and teach people how they can go out on the street, how they can interact with the people in their business or their community group, and not just preach the gospel, but make disciples. And that is so critical. And so it's moving beyond prayer to action. And all of these things are starting to happen. And, you know, we have this tendency to just pray for revival, but then not go out and act beyond the four walls of the church to set the conditions for revival. And if revival is starting with us, and the Holy Spirit is burning through us, and we're that torch, imagine actually a gigantic bonfire with people coming up to the bonfire and lighting their torches and then going away and then lighting other people's torches and on and on and on out. I mean, that's the picture that we want in our community. For those people that are driving truck today listening to Patriot Radio, you have a wonderful opportunity to witness people because you interact with people at truck stops from all walks of life all over the country. You have an opportunity to witness to fellow drivers. You know, it's wherever God has put us, it might not be glamorous, but he's put us there so that we can take root and blossom there. And that we can take that bushel basket off our lampstand and let the light shine out. We can spread the salt out, the preservative out. Because if we're not living beyond the four walls of the church, if we just go there on Sunday And we just say, well, today I'm going to be with the Lord. And then the rest of the week we're living like we don't even believe there is a Lord we should be fearful of. That's not Christianity. We need to be living beyond the four walls of the church every day we possibly can. And each one of us has been given a special opportunity and multiple opportunities a day to do that. That's what it truly means to be salt with saltiness, light not hidden under a bushel basket. Because the opposite of that is, if the salt loses its saltiness, it'll get trampled on, it'll get run over. In the 1930s and early 1940s, we saw that in the Christian church in Germany. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer talks about it. Martin Niemöller talked about it. That the church essentially did not live out its Christianity beyond the four walls of the church. And what happened? Something so horrific, that there are memorials and museums and days of remembrance because of it. And I want to finish with this, kind of circle back around all the way back to the beginning. We shouldn't be building monuments to the sin in our life, to the failures in our life. We should be building memorials about how God took us through that and what we learned from it. And I hope that's not too subtle. That's a very clear distinction. And we're focusing on what the Lord is doing in our lives, how he is impacting other people. And we're not just sitting there saying, well, I've done this all year, or I've done this all my life. I just don't know if I'm touching anybody. You know, sometimes I don't know if people are out there listening to Patriot Radio. And then people will walk up to me and say, Matt, man, I listened to your show. Thank you so much for what you're doing. Hey, praise God. We each play our part like that. We do make a difference. Because God wants to change the world, change the universe actually through each one of us. And that's how he does it. So if we're saying, oh, I don't know if I'm making a difference, but you're doing what the Lord told you, you're not trusting in God's plan. You're not trusting that he's actually going to do it through you. And if we start trusting that he's going to do it through us, and if we start living out our Christianity beyond the four walls of the church, the revival will happen here in the Northwest, and in some places is already happening. We're not sitting around waiting for it. We're working with God to make it happen. And he wants to work with us. He wants to work through us. So tomorrow, the rest of the week, however long afterward, just ask the Lord to be with you and work with you in whatever he has given you to labor in. You're going to see some amazing things. And not only is it going to be encouraging to you, it's going to be encouraging to everybody else around you. And that brings us now to your daily intelligence briefing. On the international front, now I had to double check this story because it was so unbelievable. But this is coming from Bloomberg Quint, okay? Venezuela's inflation is to reach 1,000,000%, the IMF forecast, that's the International Monetary Fund. We're talking about 1923 Weimar Germany levels, Zimbabwe late 2000 levels. And there are still socialists in the Democrat Party that are saying, you know, it's like Venezuela's just not doing its socialism right. You know, they just didn't do it right down. Look at this is what happens with socialism. It catastrophically fails. This is how money dies. There's actually a book written on that. It's a great book if you want to read it. I've read excerpts from it, so I want to be upfront about that. But it's very clear on the stages of how money dies, and that's exactly what's happening in Venezuela, and it's exactly because of socialism. And there are people in this country who are still advocating for it. In fact, there's some people coming out, and they're just admitting they're outright communists. I mean, the ties with Antifa, the ties with Indivisible, the ties with the Peace Justice Action League of Spokane directly to the Communist Party, USA. You know, I mean, PJAL's brought in as a keynote speaker to their annual event, a leader in the Communist Party, USA, and it was like it never happened. People are defending Muslim Brotherhood front organizations in the United States after the Holy Land Foundation trial, and a judge, as a matter of fact in law, found all of these unindicted co-conspirators as part of the U.S. Muslim Brotherhood, including the Council of American Islamic Relations and the North American Islamic Trust. It's unreal to me. But getting back to Venezuela, this is what happens in an oil-rich country. So they have the natural resources. They have hardworking folks. But this is what happened when socialism and socialists take control and implement these policies. You have catastrophic failure. And what's happening? What's happening? Starvation, food shortages, massive refugee outflows from the country. I hope we learn our lesson. Also on the international front, again, it's like, it's again, this is what my friend Guy Rogers talks about. This is the death of facts, right? Okay. Toronto. Horrific shooting. Two people killed, 13 wounded as of right now. And they name the shooter as Faisal Hussein. Okay. But they don't want to call it a terrorist attack. No, 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 no. Nope. Despite Hussein's expressed support for a website that was seen as pro-ISIS. Okay? So, despite that, you know, they're claiming, what, no, this is misunderstood, is mental illness. Look it. We are missing the boat on this issue. And I have to now conclude that this is intentional. The New American Magazine's got a great article on this. You can go check it out on thenewamerican.com. He very clearly expressed support for a website seen as pro-ISIS, okay? Don't you think that should be followed up on? I do. But it's as if they don't want to admit it. And it's not as if. They don't want to admit it. Because if they admit it, they got to do something about it. They got to face it. But the fact of the matter is, the Toronto mayor, John Tory, seems to be blaming guns. So it's mental illness and guns? Or is it potentially a man tied to a terrorist organization? This is why John Guandolo's presentation is so powerful, because he has given it to law enforcement all over the country, and no one has been able to refute it. Nobody. Because it's all primary source documents, and they were very clear in saying, they being ISIS and remnants of Al-Qaeda, and understand something, most of these organizations are the same people or same groups of people, okay? They specifically talked about and promoted so-called lone wolf attacks, but there's no such thing. There's no such thing. Because the people are getting their ideas not just to kill people, but they're getting their ideas on how to do it from these groups and from some mosques in the United States of America, according to Guandolo. And it is, look at, again, the Holy Land Foundation trial really put to rest the infiltration of the Muslim Brotherhood in the United States of America, just laid it out in black and white. In fact, I have one of the court exhibits I use in a presentation. So we need to stop this ignorance of what is happening. Because if we don't identify, Sun Tzu says you got to know your enemy, know yourself, and know the terrain. You have to know if you're being attacked. If you don't know the fight's on, you're going to lose. And very clearly, how many terrorist attacks have occurred just in the last 2 years? I mean, it's happening almost every month in the North American hemisphere. It's unbelievable. And we need to be plain about this. We've got a problem, and we need to hit this head on. And we need to do it constitutionally, too, I might add. All right. Also on the international front, global warming alarmists prove wrong again. Very clearly, the mass of ice in the Arctic is growing, not shrinking. And somebody's, you know, Snopes tries to come out and say, well, you know, it's not really what people are saying. Well, yeah, it is, because The Verge, which is a socialist publication or socialist leaning publication, puts out there that global warming is shrinking ice, right? Well, and then it's proven wrong. And then they go back and say, oh, no, nobody's saying that. Again, the death effects. When they're confronted with logic and reason, they can't really do anything. And all they try to do, by the way, the newest one of the new tactics of these guys is that they will attack your grammar, which I find hilarious, okay? Because people don't even know what an Oxford comma is anymore, and they'll say, oh, you have a comma in the wrong place. No, actually, it's an Oxford comma. Go look it up and figure out what that means. Okay, for those of us that read things, commas exist, so we can actually read them the way they're supposed to sound, all right? Out loud. It's funny to me. Anyway, they try to attack these little things now. Oh, maybe you misquoted somebody a little bit. It wasn't exactly right. And so, you know, we have to be precise, but we also have to understand it doesn't matter how much effort you put into it. They're going to just do this anyway. One of the other things that I've noticed too, and I mentioned this on a previous show, Vox Day brings it up. The social justice, there's three rules of social justice warriors. This is from Vox Day, that social justice warriors always lie, social justice warriors will always double down on the lie, and social justice warriors will always project. In other words, they will project onto you how they really are themselves. Well, what we're seeing now is just outright falsehood. Probably most notably is this downplaying by Lisa Brown locally on her promotion of tax increases. You know, everybody in the legislature, when she was there, knew that. They were trying to go toward tax increase. Everybody knew that. And this is when she was in charge of the Senate. She's trying to downplay it like, no. And so we're seeing this across the board, this tactic of just trying to confuse the voters enough. It happened here in Spokane Valley, actually. We had three people with very clear ties to the Democrat Party. One in particular with very clear ties to socialist organizations. And they tried to confuse the voters as being pro-business and common sense and reasonable, and these are all these buzzwords they use to confuse people and essentially lie about where they stand so they can get in power and then just keep running down the socialist road. So understand that when you're looking at voting, okay, go to sources you trust and compare them, because this is a tactic they're using. They want to fool people, and that's really the only way they think they can get elected. Let's go now to Hungary. God bless Viktor Orban for chasing out George Soros. but also Poland and Italy now drawing lines in the sand. Italy saying we will no longer be the refugee camp of the world. Poland saying that they are not going to take any more Muslim refugees. Austria, the Czech Republic, Northern Italy, Poland. And these areas, interestingly enough, if you go back to the Siege of Vienna, same people groups. It's very, very fascinating how history is coming back around. Because the Siege of Vienna, for those of you that don't know, drove out the Ottoman Turks in their attempt to invade Western Europe. All right. Also on the national front, by the way, back then in the Siege of Vienna, France and parts of Germany essentially stayed out of the conflict. Very interesting how that kind of has a rhyme here historically. Okay, also on the national front, NSA is working with private companies. This coming from The Intercept. You can go check it out for yourselves, but AT&T specifically, working closely with the NSA, that should tell us a lot. Again, the Fourth Amendment is very clear. We should be free from unreasonable searches, especially without warrants, in our personal effects. And the Revolutionary War, that taxation without representation, no representative bodies for the colonists, the attempt to seize their firearms, and Fourth Amendment violations, and what they called them back then, there was actually several terms for it, but essentially it was a global warrant. It was a warrant regardless that would allow them to search anywhere, any place, at any time. That is pretty scary that there are people that still are trying to claim it's for national security reasons. William Binney, the guy that made the system, was the architect of the superstructure of the system, says it could still operate and go after terrorists without compromising Americans and violating the Constitution. In fact, he put in safeguards to do just that, and they removed them. And it's interesting that some of those deep state people that removed them are some of the people we're seeing in headlines now. Also on the national front, interesting from IntelliHub, multiple shooters in Vegas. They have a timeline at IntelliHub. It's Intel E with an I. I know it sounds a little different, but IntelliHub. Go check out the timeline. It's fascinating reading. Clearly, we're not being told everything that went on down there. Also on the national front, there's a renewed push by Congress to recognize the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization. About time. I mean, the UAE recognizes them as a terrorist organization, for goodness sakes. They overthrew a government in Egypt through violence. So, why are we not doing it? We need to. Also on the regional front, I-1639, this is the anti-gun initiative. This is the one where they had the six-point font, the stuff you could barely read, and then there were allegations that some of the signature gathering, there were problems with it. We're still continuing to fight on that issue, but educate your friends and family about this initiative and how bad it is, okay? They're trying to do this through the initiative process because they don't have the support in the legislature to make it happen. Understand that. Also on the regional front, up in Okanagan, a student outside Tiffany Campground, treed by a pack of wolves, actually reported that the student deployed bear spray and it had no effect. So you're talking about habituated wolves. They got used to humans and to the point that they wanted to attack. Okay. And there are still people. In fact, somebody wrote the other day on social media, still people trying to defend this. And he says, you shouldn't go into places that are dangerous. What are you talking about? I think she was within every right to shoot those wolves if she was in fear of her life to the point she had to climb a tree, for goodness sakes. And this idea that wolves are these kind of cuddly, friendly creatures is so ludicrous. You can go to Siberia. You can go to Alaska. Talk to the people there. Talk to some of the scientists that have studied this. Talk to Jim Beers, who's an expert. We've had him on the show before. There's no such thing as this friendly wolf, this cuddly little wolf. They're not domesticated. And in fact, the Russians think we're crazy for reintroducing him. I gotta say, it's pretty interesting that 100 years ago, they got rid of them for a reason. And oh, by the way, these are not a lot of them, according to Jim Beers, even native. So why are we pretending again there's not a problem? Also on the regional front, I want to take you back down to Riverside. This incident that happened down there, Coalition of Western States first broke this story after debriefing the family. And then bringing this up at the national level, now there are members in the U.S. Senate, Mike Lee in particular, that are moving to get rid of the law enforcement capability of the Bureau of Land Management. I couldn't agree more. If you didn't hear about this incident, the short story is there was a couple on an ATV. Their ATV broke down. They're trying to limp it back. It's night. As they're coming down a hill, all of a sudden lights come on, and a park ranger and a BLM officer in two separate vehicles apparently tried to block the road, and they skidded past them because they're coming down a hill, can't stop. They had their hands in the air, and the lady that had her hands in the air was shot through the hand, and the bullet grazed her head. So there's no doubt her hand was in the air. And this is just one more reason, I think, that we need to look at this stuff. All right, on the local front, a positive story, Trezzy Farm Winery up on Green Bluff. They ranked Spokane Valley as the number 8 wine destination in the country, and then Trezzy Farm Winery is the number 1 winery in that region. So congratulations to Trezzy Farm Winery. That's a huge deal. Big deal. And I'm certain that they're going to have a lot more people going there. In fact, I really congratulate our small businesses that make that kind of an impact. It's terrific. All right. Also on the local front, Cheryl Hancock, reporter from Israel, is going to be here in Spokane on this Thursday, the 26th, at 6 o'clock. At La Bella Vie Event Center. So 6 o'clock, La Bella Vie Event Center this Thursday. And you can hear what's happening on the ground in Israel from her. Ask Cheryl. There's going to be time for questions as well. So if you want to find out what's happening on the ground, she actually lives over there in Israel, was personally the subject of at least one attack, as you heard on the previous broadcast. And it's an opportunity to really ask those pointed questions about, hey, you know, what's happening? And also, how can we be of help too. August 1st, there's going to be a pro-life unity rally, and I believe it's going to be out at Center Place in the Valley. I'll have more information on that. And I'll probably post that up on Facebook. In fact, I'm going to try to pull it up right now because there are a lot of people that want to be there. And I believe it's going to be out at Center Place. So I'm going to I'll get that pulled up, and then please tell your friends and family to show up. This is one of those opportunities to get together on the issue of life and to make certain that we're not just talking about it and praying about it, but we're actually standing on the line and saying, this is wrong, and this needs to end. And again, that's August 1st. At Center Place in Spokane Valley. I have it starting at 5 o'clock. So 5 o'clock on August 1st at Center Place in Spokane Valley. Look forward to seeing you all there. Also on the local front, Hydro One and Avista, the merger, a lot more opposition to it now because the fears have been realized that a foreign government can change the board of directors or at least influence it in such a way that the board of directors resigns and the CEO resigns. And they would then have control over a significant portion of critical U.S. infrastructure in the state. A lot of people very concerned about that, and rightfully so. And last but not least, ballots are out, and my recommendations are out. There's two places to go for recommendations. Number one is We Believe We Vote. Number two is VoteShea, SHEA.com. And On there, I have one dispute with We Believe We Vote on one candidate. You'll see where that is. But take a look at it. Talking about judges as well. And you just go to VoteShay.com, go to Solutions, and it is right there. You can print it off, share it. A lot of people find it helpful because, you know, they don't know about judges. They don't know what's going on in that world. But it's pretty clear that we need to pay attention with the impact judges are having on everything. And that is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that's been praying for the show. And make sure you go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US. Like the page, share it with your friends and family. And if you want to support the show, you can always go to Vote Shay. That's VoteShea.com. And remember, Patriot Radio is also on iTunes and Podbean. And it's also on YouTube as well, if YouTube's easier for you. So you can catch back episodes as you're traveling around over the summer. Well, I want to take a moment before we get to our guest. And usually in off-season elections, people don't vote. And the problem with that is you get like 35% turnout, and we're not determining or helping to determine whether or not godly leaders are elected. So if you have friends and family, it's a mail-in ballot, for goodness sakes, call them up and make sure they're voting. Just call your friends and family and say, hey, have you voted to maintain freedom and liberty and godly candidates this election cycle? Okay? All right. It's my pleasure to introduce our guest today, C.J. Curtis with HRC Ministries. And if you remember, HRC Ministries deals a lot with sex trafficking, and she has started Repeat Boutique as a manager. CJ, it's great to have you on the show. How are you doing?
Awesome. Hi. Thank you. It's great to be here. Thanks so much.
Well, I'm glad to have you on. If you could, real quick, tell the listeners, since you haven't been on the show before, a little bit about your background, where you were born, where you were raised, and then how you got involved in HRC.
Sure. So, born and raised in Spokane, and moved to a lot of different places with the family, but always came back to Spokane. I came from a pretty dysfunctional family, and so had definitely some difficulties growing up. My siblings and I kind of led a very destructive lifestyle. Got into drugs at a very early age, and which, you know, led me to be just very vulnerable. And so when I was 13, which was 20 years ago, crazy how fast time flies, but when I was 13, I was approached by a man, and over in the Seattle area, we were staying over there in transition with my dad, and was approached by a man who just kind of was able to spot that, you know, I was vulnerable, and kind of started a conversation with me, and figured out what I liked, and quickly kind of just led me away and enticed me to run away with him. He took me down to California, and then proceeded to sell me and put me on the streets in California. And so fast forward, I mean, I was 13. I was gone for several months. My family thought I was dead. When I came home, I definitely just shame and guilt kept all that, you know, just kind of stuffed all that in, and just quickly fell into just everything I could to numb, you know, that trauma, and started using hard drugs, got into that, and everything that comes along with that. By the grace of God, I was able to survive all that, and actually I was able to get back into high school. Thank God my mom was there, and I was able to graduate with my class on time. And during that time, I had a son, a healthy baby, and things were okay, you know, but there's still just a lot of things that just weren't dealt with. So I ended up starting to use hard drugs again, and lost my son. My mom was able to take my son and take care of him while I pretty much lived on the streets for a couple years and just right back into that lifestyle that I had learned all the years, those years ago. And it was there that I hit my rock bottom and just cried out to Jesus. You know, I had had seeds planted in my heart, you know, throughout my childhood. My grandma would drag us to church. And so I kind of knew, but I was definitely wavering and kind of just tumbleweed blowing in the wind. And so I knew enough, though, to cry out to God, if you're real. And he answered my call, and I ended up going to jail shortly after that, where I picked up the Bible, and the sweet little chaplain in the county jail came and spoke and ministered.
Are you still there? Oh, looks like we may have lost her. Wow, what a powerful testimony. And I hope she, I hope we can get back a hold of her, Joe. So that was pretty powerful testimony. Anyway, looks like we're still broadcasting, so we're going to keep going. I'm going to shift gears now until we get her back on the line. I'm going to shift gears to the local elections, and I want to go down each one and kind of talk about a little bit of the implications of each one. There have been a lot of questions. Some elections, I really tried to put kind of the key contested races in the higher level races. You know, for county prosecutor, Larry Haskell is really, really good. I didn't put him on there because, you know, it's not really a contested race as such. But he's been doing well as a prosecutor. And one of the great things, too, is he listens. I mean, it's just phenomenal when you can actually talk to people who listen and don't think that they know the answers to everything.
She's back on.
Okay, perfect. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I am so sorry about that.
Yeah, no problem.
I don't know how to put my phone on Do Not Disturb. I need to figure that out, apparently. Okay, I guess I was just at my favorite part of the story, which is where I met the Lord. And, you know, it's definitely not something that happens right away. Just, you know, when you meet, it does for everybody anyway. So when I met the Lord, I got out of jail, kind of went back to my old friends and, or so-called friends and, anyway, but God had gotten a hold of my heart. And so from there, I got involved in my local church, and God just was really intentional about getting around the right people. And though I gave my heart and life to God, I served him for years and years, I always kept that part of my story in the dark, and just that shame and that guilt, like I never shared. I always shared that, you know, God saved me from, you know, I was in recovery. God saved me from, you know, life of drug abuse and things like that. But that part just never, I never shared. And it wasn't just until a couple years ago that a good friend of mine who works a lot in social justice at that realm, and she kind of picked up on, you know, I would always just skim over that part. Like I was 13 and ran away with an older man, and she kind of just saw that for what it was and gave me a book to read. The book was called Walking Prey, and I can't remember the author, but phenomenal book that gave, basically I picked it up. I was reading my story. It was literally 13-year-old gal targeted by a man who was, you know, sold into sex slavery. And something in me just kind of broke for one, and but also, you know, at that same time, God was just speaking to me about just sharing my story, and so it wasn't until I read that I realized that was the part of my story I needed to share and open up about. A lot of healing and things took place because I realized I was a victim, and it wasn't really, you know, my choice. Like I was, you know, definitely lured into this life, and I was, which is like so many other stories. And this book is great too, because it really gives a lot of statistics. I mean, over 200,000 They say, ladies, young women are trafficked in the United States domestically a year. And so these statistics and just opening that part of my life back up, I was able to quickly just start this fire in me that I needed to share my story. And around that same time, God just brought me to this ministry. I was connected with met the Altmeyers. Caleb was sharing at an event. Caleb Altmeyer is the director of HRC, and mentioned that they have a safe house. And so that was our pilot program at the time. We had a safe house open for 9 months, and we were expecting to maybe help, you know, a few women. And we had 21 women come through the house. And so with that, realized we needed a lot more resources and help, and just was for the need and everything. And so at that point, I just started sharing my story with the ministry and to different churches to raise awareness. And it just brings me to today and just this great opportunity that I've been given to really just use my gifts and my story really to help do something about, you know, this issue and this problem and just really this tragedy that's happening in our society. And I love that all the awareness is being raised about it, that more and more people are getting on board and showing, you know, just their support and that they care. And so after we closed that pilot program down, we Caleb and Sarah traveled around to different organizations and to find, you know, a program that was, you know, like the one that we just God put on our heart to start. And so we did find one over in Bellingham called Engedi, and they have like a 90 plus success rate of women coming out of life and staying out of it. And which is just huge, because yeah, with those numbers, that just doesn't happen. And so of course they love Jesus, and it's, you know, faith centered. And so they have agreed to, we're kind of partnering up with them, and they're going to come and train our people and, you know, the staff, and we're going to use like model our program after theirs. And so, things are moving along and they're moving fast. God's opening doors. And the boutique here was just one of those doors. As soon as God just put it on my heart to, that I'd be a bigger part of raising money, it just, this idea of this boutique was downloaded. And then there's other great ministries in town that, you know, really helped inspire the vision. Teen Challenge, they do a thrift store, UGM. We've got a great relationship with those ministries who are, you know, who have a similar model. So the boutique is a high-end thrift store and kind of more of a, you know, it's a smaller space, so we really try to, the donations that we get in, we, you know, pick the best stuff and put it out on the floor and display it. And it's, everybody who comes in here is just really, you know, just surprised and just really, you know, appreciates the design and everything of the store. So we're able to raise money for our campaign, our capital campaign that we have going on, which involves getting a learning center, getting a safe house, and having that phase program that we're modeling after Engedi. And so, it's just, I mean, that's kind of all of it in a nutshell there.
it's phenomenal, and I just appreciate, yeah, you know, your heart for all of this, and it's just phenomenal listening to your testimony as well. If you could, for the listeners, how big of a problem is sex trafficking in the Spokane area? I think a lot of people have this false sense that Spokane's just kind of a, you know, out of the way place, and that might not happen here.
Yeah, you know, a lot of, I mean, even me looking back at my sort, like when I would hear trafficking, I'd hear overseas, and you know, maybe, you know, in the Seattle and like the big cities, I never would have thought of that. I, for one, was a victim myself, and then that it happens here. And the fact is that we are along a major corridor with the I-90, and it does, and especially with the internet and which is actually what a lot of traffic victims are now, you know, being sold through the internet now. It's not a lot of it on the streets like it was back in the day that I was doing it. So, which it still definitely happens that way. But yeah, it's all done over the internet, and it is a huge issue. I mean, more and more the statistics and everything are kind of all over the place, but, and I don't really have any of those numbers. We do have our website, which will give you a lot of really great information and statistics, but it definitely is an issue here. Several people that I've even met, and that's where Randy and Caleb's, the Altmaier's heart, for this ministry came to be, is just because just a few people in their, you know, circle, and Caleb, an old babysitter of his, I mean, was trafficked by her family members. It's just such a like a deep and dark secret that you know, it can happen right in, you know, front of you, and you wouldn't even know. And so, yeah, it definitely is. And it's also our heart, too, to be able to, like, you know, connect with other organizations and start this model and build this program so that we can share it with other places, because it's going to be really important when the women, if we rescue women, when we do, out of the Spokane area, to connect with organizations that are elsewhere to get the ladies out of the city that they were trafficked in. So that's a really important thing to do.
It absolutely is. And if you could, mm-hmm. In the last few minutes that we've got, tell the listeners a little bit about Repeat Boutique. What does it do, and where is it located, and what kind of support you're getting from the local community after you've opened?
Yeah. So we've been open just under a month, so a few weeks, and we are located, so it's HRC Repeat Boutique, and we're located just west of Target on Sprague. So it's right in the same building as Comfort City, between Comfort City and Pool World. And we have really had just phenomenal support from local people. Just with our little signs, we're still working on marketing and signs and stuff, but everybody who comes in is just so on board with the mission and everything. And so we have had, and we, all of our items are donated. So we've just from social media and getting the word of mouth, we've had donations just pour in, and we've been very blessed locally by the community here. And we're open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 to 6. And all of the proceeds will go straight into our restorative program. So we, HRC has a lot of different areas of outreach, including like a Hungry We Feed Students and provide food for food pantries at churches and the House of Charity. And we have those types of outreaches. Just for hurting communities, right? Helping reach a community. And so, but this specific boutique is cool because everything that we raise here will go into our restoration program. And then we're able to partner with other nonprofits such as UGM. And we did have another gal who came in and was able to get, you know, donations that we can't necessarily, or that we aren't putting in the store. We'll just make sure that everything goes to someone in need who needs it. And so it's a great place to donate your household items. We only mostly sell women's clothing, but we have home decor, kitchenware, just kind of really unique pieces like furniture. We're doing a little bit of reclaiming, and that's the other beauty of this type of business and ministry, is that we can, when the residents start going through the home, they're going to be able to come in and get job training. And so my heart is to be able to have, you know, opportunities for the ladies to just really come and discover their gifts and use their gifts. So we have things like reclaiming and repurposing, and we have art pieces and, you know, jewelry making, and just like all sorts of kind of fun opportunities for the gals to hone in on their gifts and be able to use them in that way. And so, So, yeah, I mean, we're just really in the early stages, but I foresee, you know, just really great things coming out of here and just it being a really fun place for our little community here in the Valley. So,
if people want to support it, where can they go to find out more information, maybe contact you as well? And also, you know, I really want to put this out because you just never know who's listening to the show, or maybe they listen to the mm-hmm. podcast, but if maybe they know somebody, or maybe they are caught up in the sex trafficking and sex slavery, horrific mess that they want to get out of it, where can they go? Who can they talk to?
Absolutely. So we are, so if you go to hrcministries.com, then it will have, you know, a whole slew of information on there and questions about trafficking and signs, what to look for and things like that. So we have a lot of really great resources on our website. And, but yeah, that's a great point. We also have a hotline number for, because we are able to rescue ladies and get them out of a situation. We've connected with, you know, people that are able to, go and do that. And we have short-term, living like places, short-term homes for them to go to. And that phone number, the anti-trafficking hotline phone number, is 509-565-0698. And, I'm also, we don't quite have a land phone here yet, but I, you know, I'm just really trying to spread the word and get the word out there, and I'm happy to answer my phone at any time. So I'm, you know, happy to give my phone number out to, or just pop in and see me. And so my phone number, which is basically the boutique's phone number right now, is 509-385-4232. So you can call me, feel free to call me anytime if you have any questions. There's also an option, if you go to our website, you can donate and become part of our capital campaign. We have a banquet coming up, and those are really great. It's a great fundraiser, but it's a really great way to get informed and just help support the ministry. And so that's coming up, and that's all on our website. That's coming up in September, and so that is, you know, those are the fundraisers that we're able to really share where we're at and exactly, you know, the progress that we're making, which is really a lot right now. I mean, God is just in the last couple of weeks, we've been so blessed. We've got our new building, the HRC building. You guys could all be looking for it. Coming soon is just right on the corner of Broadway and Sullivan. So right there on like one of the busiest intersections in the Valley, you'll see our big HRC logo. So we'll have our learning center, so the ladies can, you know, they don't have to be stuck in the house all day and confined to that. They'll be able to go to the learning center where we'll have chapel and a fitness center. And we'll also have our HRC offices and our counseling offices in that same building. So that is a great little update there. So. Anyway.
Well, we have about a minute left. If you could, if there was a message to, maybe there's a young lady listening today, right now, that, you know, wants to just hear from somebody who has lived it and come out of it, what would be your message to her?
There's hope. There is so much hope. There's people out there who care and want to help you. You are loved and valued and precious, and it doesn't matter how far gone or how much you think the worth that you don't have, you are. You're worth so much more to the Lord, to Jesus, to us. And please just reach out. Reach out for help. Reach out for hope, because it's there, and you're loved.
CJ Curtis, and I appreciate you so much. I would love to have you back on the show again. God bless you, and if there's anything I can do to help you guys out, let me know, okay?
Wow, thank you so much, Matt. I appreciate it very much.
All right. CJ Curtis, HRC Repeat Boutique Manager, and I want to put out the phone number again, 509-385-4232. 4232, 385-4232, hrministries.com. And I will post their fundraiser page up on the Facebook page for Patriot Radio as well. Look, it is a problem. We need to acknowledge it's a problem. And there are so many good folks that are mobilizing to do something, and they're using successful methods. You heard that 90% success rate. I mean, it's unbelievable coming out of such a horrific situation to have that kind of a success rate. This is something I think we need to support as a community. We need to support as much as we possibly can, and we need to get the word out far and wide so that if there is anybody caught up in this, that they can hear about it and know that there is an option, there is a way out. They don't have to continue with what's going on in their life right now, that they can get out of it. And what a wonderful way to show tangible love. And here's another point about this too. You heard CJ took this horrible tragedy in her life and turned it into a testimony of the love and power of Jesus Christ, of the power of the Holy Spirit. We should be doing that in our lives too. Each of us has a story like that, that was something in our life that was a tragedy that we came through. And it can be a beacon of hope. It can be a source of encouragement to other people. And a lot of times we will bottle that up and we won't share that story. We'll just keep it inside when it can be so powerful and so healing to other people. So consider sharing your story today, whatever that is, and ask the Lord for opportunities to do that as well. This is Matt Shea. Thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you, and may He make this generation the greatest one.